So if you don't have any questions, I'll assume everybody understands everything we've said up to now, which is sort of contradictory to every other conversation I've had all week. So does anybody want to open any beginning avenues, or should I just begin all over again from the beginning?
I don't know. I'm afraid to open any new avenues.
Well, I can do that.
Sally's saying, is there a summary?
What? Yeah, well, we've been through the summary. This will be the third time. We're not through it, but part way down it. Just
no, where we left off. What I mean is where we left off. The last.
No. We'll get there. We're going to start over again.
Oh, okay.
Because I can bet you that nobody really understands. Well, once upon a nonce time, as a condition, you were everything yet nothing. Nothing particular or significant. And you could not be known or even distinguished. Everybody understands that, right?
I think so.
Okay. I'm not going to believe you, but I'll go along from there. From random stirrings of this condition, you coalesced as a concept, and you sensed yourself as a concept. But what concept were you? Well, emergent...
I've had that question.
Huh?
I said I've had that question. I feel like I can relate to that, yes.
Okay. Emergent from sensing yourself and living as a concept was a self-image or a personal self. Okay. A physical body was prepared for you by your body's parents. And of course, what we've said before, that means that they aren't even your parents. So I don't quite understand why everybody has so many parent problems and struggles and difficulties in that regard at all, because they aren't even your parents. They might as well have been next door neighbor. Okay.
So they were just the carriers of the genetic material.
That's about all.
Okay.
Emergent from the communion of your personal self or self-image and the body prepared for you, you became a personal being. And this is where we left off before in this summary, because I said, well, this is about where we are. And what I was trying to do months ago was, through suscitation, get you to sort of begin to see and experience your eternal self. Because through the awareful communion of your personal self and the eternal history of your body's ancestors, an eternal self will obviously be emergent. Well, okay. If you understand, do you want me to read that again? I don't think anybody...
Yeah.
I don't think you really got the important things here. Through the awareful communion of your personal self and the eternal history of your body's ancestors, an eternal self will obviously be emergent.
So what are you... I mean, I'm not saying I'm getting it, but what in there do you really feel?
There's implications in that. It's only... one sentence, a couple of clauses, and there are implications in that up to the eyeballs.
So, is that eternal being, DNA, are each constituents for the emergent, when the emergent has qualities that each one individually doesn't have?
I understood the last part that you said, but I didn't understand the front part, so I don't really know what you're talking about.
You were saying, and I maybe need to hear it again, you said there's the two, you didn't say this, but there, I heard there was a couple of elements or constituents that together bring his eternal self.
Right. What I said was, through the awareful communion of your personal self and the eternal history of your body's ancestors, an
Everybody
eternal
wants.
Self will obviously be emergent. Well, okay, what is an eternal self?
Well, that's what I wanted. You said the eternal self, but you related it to ancestors or prior. So tell me more about that. I'm not sure what that
is. No, you tell me more about that.
So that's the DNA aspect.
Okay.
The genetic aspect. Okay.
Okay. So the question is then, with those... with those constituents, the constituents of a personal self and your the eternal history of your body, those are the two constituents, and from that an emergent self is, an eternal self is emergent.
Okay.
Now I want to know what is an eternal self? How would you define from that statement, how would you define, or what would you say about an eternal self? How would you describe it? How would you explain it?
Oh boy. I don't know how I would explain it. I don't know how I would define it. Other than just the way you said it, constituent with another constituent, and this is the emergence of something that you couldn't cause or you didn't set up yourself.
Well, what are the constituents?
The eternal history of your ancestors and personal self. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now,
okay.
What is an eternal, from that information, what or how would you explain or describe an eternal self? Would you describe an eternal self as something that goes on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever?
I don't know, because emergent, if it's not caused or composed, then it wouldn't decompose. So based on that, it would go on forever and ever and ever.
How do you know that? Look at those constituents and tell me...
Roger.
Yeah.
One of the constituents... it is tied to the body, which is the link to the genetic history.
Right.
And that body will die, so that would remove one of the constituents.
Not so.
Yeah, because
I never
qualities in particular. That's recognizable as a particular constituent.
I never listed your body as a constituent.
Okay.
I'm talking to Patrick there.
Eternal history of your ancestors, okay.
Did you understand that, Patrick?
No.
I didn't list your body as a constituent. So why are you now inserting the body as a limitation somehow or other?
Well, that the you had a
a personal self. Actually, I want to back up and ask here. Previously, we spoke of personal self being eternal self and eternal being. Have we sidestepped that in any way in this conversation?
Well, I have never said personal self had anything to do necessarily with eternal self and eternal being. Is that what you just said?
No, I'm saying that we had four identifiable units: personal self, personal being, eternal self, and eternal being. In this conversation, that we've only referred to as personal self and eternal self.
Okay.
So the
but we've also
and the eternal
we also added the we also added the constituents of your body's ancestors.
I think I need to go back and see what was that awareful communion. What did that involve?
The wearful communion was you brought your personal self together with an understanding of the eternal history of your body's ancestors.
Okay.
Now, I haven't said you did anything with your body. The constituent are the ancestors of your body. So that if your body dies, that doesn't affect your ancestors at all.
Right. But it's eternal history of your ancestors. It's not the body. That's two different things.
That's right. But from that now, give me an image or a description or from only using that sentence of an eternal self. And my question is an eternal self or an eternal being, is that someone who lives eternally or even recurs eternally? Yes or no will do.
Well, I'm still back to that you used eternal self and eternal being interchangeably there.
No, I just said...
Does it matter?
I just said, is a eternal self or an eternal, when I change it to eternal being, that's just an embodied eternal self, as someone who lives eternally. You got to get your head around the word eternally in all of this. You got your head screwed on backwards, or didn't anybody hear that at all?
Yeah, because eternal is not a continuing, ongoing.
Well, it doesn't make any good, Sally, in that regard. I said either that it continues and lives eternally or recurs eternally.
Okay, so it's recur.
Who says? Screw your head around 180 degrees. Now what's going on? Well, then let me ask you this question, Sally. If an eternal being or eternal self is something that recurs or goes on eternally, whatever the case may so, how will you know an eternal self or eternal being from any other being? And if it is one that goes on, how would you know that? Wouldn't you have to wait till eternally and then say, well, damn, I guess you are one of those. Here you are. Everybody quit on me already?
No, I'm just trying to, just thinking of, I'm just trying, turning my head around.
Well, if you turn your head around 180, if you turn your head around 180 degrees and look at an eternal self, what will you see?
But aren't you looking backwards then?
Of course you are.
Into the history.
And what will you see?
You will see the history of your ancestors.
Okay, but right. Then if we talk about just an eternal self, would we then not be seeing an eternal self? Not what goes on and on and on, because we can't wait until eternity to see that. Then
right.
If I look at it backwards, I see that, gee whiz, that which is eternal in the past, it's reasonable to assume is eternal in the future.
Right. Okay.
So when you're looking, when you're looking at eternal self as a future, you can't talk about it because it's meaningless.
Right.
But
you can talk about eternal history of ancestors.
And so then, an eternal self in this regard is a self that has been.
Oh, that's great.
And we have often said, is it not reasonable to assume that what is eternal into the future is eternal into the past?
Right, right.
And if it's eternal into the past, is it not reasonable to assume that it's eternal into the future?
Right.
But you can't know eternal or anything about eternal into the future. You can only
right.
know eternal self as eternal into the past.
Right. Right. Yes.
So, all of your desire to continue is an utter waste of time, simply because even if you do, or even if you don't, you won't know whether you did until after you did.
Wow. Yes.
Oh. So the question is: are you willing to then describe to eternal self? Is well, gee, that's a self that has lived. Eternally. Well, by golly.
Yep.
Is that okay, guys?
Yeah, that's a great image.
Yeah.
And are you beginning to say, understand when I said, look, you guys are living your life backwards. You're trying to create a future, or even see a future. You can't do that when all the evidence and all of the information and all the data, everything you need to know, is eternally into the past.
Yes.
Okay. Your body that decomposes to dust is eternal. What evidence do you want, or will you accept that your body that decomposes to dust is eternal?
Because it's part of the eternal history of your ancestors.
Well, by golly, so then I look at my body and I see it decompose, then I assume, well, I'm dead in the water right there. But if I look at my body and my ancestors of that body and see that it has reoccurred eternally back into the past, I can assume that no matter what anybody says, that which is composed will decompose, it ain't gone. Because I have a history that says that's not so.
Right.
But just because it recomposes itself as a different body, like each link on a chain is different, but you're looking at the whole chain and every link puts it all together, like looking at the history of your body through the ancestors from the DNA, which you have access to in that regard. That which is eternally in the past is reasonable to assume is eternally into the future.
Wow, and that kind of clears up the whole thing of doing, you know, having a meaningful life and doing purposeful things and setting goals and all that, because
why?
But if you turned around, the meaning doesn't exist in something you're going to do or need to do or have to
Be careful now. Be careful.
Okay.
Be careful. For instance, I'm older than you are, Sally.
Yes?
How do you know I am older than you?
Oh, just by counting the years, chronologically.
Counting the years from where? From what?
Oh, I know. From the day... Oh, you were born.
I don't know. How do I know the day I was born? My birth certificate is not in my name. And then I was adopted. But Roger wasn't adopted. Robert was. Now, I'm older than you because I remember when horse-drawn carts came down the street selling ice. I remember when the little hot cross bun cart came down the street. I remember going through the front windshield of a 1925 Ford sedan. I went to the 1939 World's Fair.
Okay.
Hell, you know, I even put on a puppet show and donated money to Franklin Delano Roosevelt's 1940 re-election.
I love it. Well, you are older than I am.
So those memories are important, aren't they?
Yes, you're right.
Oh, so if I can then extend my memories back, then that gives me this great assurance, doesn't it?
Yes.
Well, wait a minute then. If you're looking backwards, wouldn't it be advisable to live today, to make this moment today a memory that you really want to have?
Yes.
Oh, so then it doesn't make this meaningless in that regard, but okay. you live today as it to make it a memory that you truly want to have.
Right. That's great.
And if I declare to you that you are an eternal being, what proof or evidence do you want from me? I can't prove that you will be in the future eternal, but if I can show you or two memories that you have, or lives or memories of lives or ancestral history that you have, isn't that, more better? Because I can't show you anything in the future.
Right, that's so coy.
But you've been living a religion and a belief that gives you nothing to go on, that says, well, if you do it right, and you have faith and trust in the Lord, and that you know that Jesus is the truth, the light, the way, and all of that, then you'll be eternal too.
Right.
That's a word out of somebody's mouth that you believe that.
That's right.
Oh. Maybe you should look at your life from a different perspective, and number one, spend more time looking at your past, which will then affirm and confirm you and give you a great deal of assurance. Oh man, I had a big argument at the library book sale Saturday with a gal who knows exactly where she's going and what she's doing because the Bible told her so.
Oh boy.
And nothing whatsoever was going to interfere with that.
Right.
Well, you are also like Well, I said 3 weeks ago we came up against a wall, 2 weeks ago, up against a wall. You wanted to continue. And I say, no, you won't. If I give you or show you a past that then is the ancestors of you or your body or something of that nature, isn't that greater empirical evidence than anything you have that says you're going to be or have an eternal life in heaven?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. See, you got your head screwed on backwards.
That's right.
Well, the question is, can you create your future? Remember, this is the future you say you want to continue to. Can you create any future?
No, because there is none. It doesn't really even exist.
Well, then what's going on? If that's the case, why the hell are you trying to be good, right, better, best, do this and that for tomorrow and etc.? Well, then the question is, have you ever created any future?
No, just created a past.
You created past? So then what you're telling me is something I've said for the last 15 or 20 years. You never create the future. You just create more past, and the more past you have, that pushes you into the future. I have more past than you have in this lifetime. So you're so busy trying to create a future when what you should be doing is creating the past you truly, truly desire.
Yeah.
Every day. Because if you create the past every day you truly desire, that will push you into the future you truly desire.
Right.
Okay. If I say that you don't continue, that life continues, but you do not. Why is that such a threat?
Because I don't know the you that you're talking about.
Well, then express that in what you want to continue.
Since life is what recurs and I don't.
No, I never said that. What I said was that life continues, but you do not.
So what recurs?
Well, you can recur. When I say you don't, there can be a recurrence going on, but let's set that aside for a minute. If life continues, but you do not, from what we have said today, why is that such a threat?
The direct answer is that since if it's life that continues and not me, then the threat is, that's the end of me. What's my interest in that?
All right, let's start it over again. If you're looking at your inherited ancestors, can we not say then that you decomposed and continued, but you didn't? There was a different you in every lifetime. Was that so bad?
No, that's correct.
So,
the implication is that this lifetime that I am aware of and living through this borrowed body will end, and that's the end of me.
No. Well, that's the end of you, yes, but no.
Well, every bit of my memories that are stored in my genetic code, that survives, but it's not particularized as anything that has anything meaningful to me.
Oh, well, then maybe you should make those past lives meaningful to you, and then everything changes, doesn't it?
I still don't get how having the past that I truly desire at all times in any way passes to any kind of through any kind of awareness. I'm still, everything you've said so far says that there is nothing that continues in terms of a consolidated identity. If I've got that wrong, I should know about that. But as far as I can
Patrick, I want you to turn your head around and look at all your past lives. Does it make any difference whether you, Patrick, lived or was any of those past lives, yes or no?
No, it really doesn't matter, no.
So, here is Patrick at the end of the chain, looking at all the links that were down the line of past lives, and I said you didn't live those, they're your lives, but you didn't live those lives, and they are not you, but you are Patrick. What if that, if you take that same pattern and turn it around and say you're looking toward the future, why is that such a threat?
The threat, as I keep on coming back to, the threat seems to be that there is, whether it's Patrick or some kind of consolidated identity that continues, it seems then that as life continues, there's just a continuation of spontaneous expressions of life, consolidations of life that can access every bit of memory, including my old memory.
Well,
so it's just that it sounds like it's simply a new life that can build on every life that's ever been lived.
Why would you want to continue?
Well, it's not that I necessarily want to continue.
Well, it sounds to me like that's true.
But it changes the whole nature of existence.
Of course it does. That's what I've been trying to tell you for 15 years, 16 years now. The whole nature... Go ahead.
I think, no matter what you said, these last 15 years... I've been building everything you've been talking about into a forward arrow of time. And that there is, when we spoke of the golden thread, I interpreted that as somehow being some kind of self-aware identity that somehow will span all of that. And that seems to be all in error.
What's wrong with that?
I'm kind of adrift, seeing how I'm just working out the ramifications. I agree with you that just in that one short statement you read 3/4 of an hour ago, whenever it was, the implications are astounding, and I'm working my way through them.
Well, what it does is, it takes all of the right, wrong, good, bad judgments, hope for the future, pray for the future, do the good stuff and the bad stuff, and trying to cause the future you want and the life you want. It takes that all away and simplifies everything to live in every day, in every moment, not in the now, but in every moment, in such a way that you're creating the past that you truly want to either continue or look back on. You sent me an article.
Yeah.
You sent me an article on, this is several years ago, on teleportation. And because we talked about it before. Now, we talked about it as beam me up, Scotty, from Star Trek. What the hell was going on when they actually said, beam me up, Scotty?
They took all the data and information that was Scotty and then reconsolidated that data and information at some other physical location.
And so that person, if that was Captain Kirk, at that other location at the starship, was not Captain Kirk that was on this planet, was it?
Well, actually, in the movies, it looked like it was the same person.
Because all the data and information went there.
Yeah.
And we would say...
Oh, I see.
So it's not Captain Kirk.
No, the same person was not transported to another place. That person was completely disassembled, and then an entire reassembly took place of a different person.
And all they transported in that regard was data and information.
Correct.
And then they reconstituted Captain Kirk. And then
correct.
you remember some cases where when they're up in the starship and the transportation wasn't quite complete, and you could see part of a person but not all of the person, and etc. It wasn't that the data and information was there, but he hadn't been recoalesced as Captain Kirk or whomever it was, right?
Correct.
And they've actually done that, not a complicated teleportation. They've actually done that, and so the Captain Kirk that was on the planet is simultaneously decomposed as the clone Captain Kirk is recomposed on the starship.
Yes.
Everything I'm talking about here in terms of your life is exactly that. The only difference is that the Captain Kirk on the starship, you know, could start out as another little baby and start over again in that. But then the data and information that is Captain Kirk on the starship, as opposed to being on the planet, that's the only difference. But it's still the same data and information. So there's no way we can say there is a Captain Kirk that was transported up to the starship at all. Right?
But the data and information.
But the data and information is not Captain Kirk. So there is no Captain Kirk that is transported to the starship. He is cloned. The data and information is, and he is cloned, and that's a whole different guy. He may even have a headache on the planet. It got rid of his headache when he got to the starship.
Does this analogy fall apart a bit when I mention that he remembers that he's Captain Kirk and he remembers he has a clear history that is uninterrupted?
Does it fall apart if I regress you into a past life and you remember that life? All I do when I tell you about that thing, you remember when we did this gathering, I even tried to get everybody to visit or revisit the past lives and to keep a chronological recording of that so that you can bring those past lives to get past memories into memory and bring those past lives. Now remember, they're your past lives, but you didn't live them, but you can bring that, they're the history of your body, you can bring that past life into your life today and make that a part of your life however you want. You bring the data and what?
And is the past lives, are they ancestor history?
I don't know what you're asking, Simone.
Before we spoke about the eternal history and that this eternal history is the eternal history of ancestors.
Well, yeah, but it's other things too. But in any case, that's what we're talking about. Your body is kind of like a historical Akashic walk-around record. And you
exactly, and the past life is one ancestor constituent.
Sure, and you've got you can bring that life if you're willing to go there and really manifest that life for you. You can bring that life, those talents, those skills into your life today.
Yes.
It's just like when I started writing the descriptionary about health. I didn't know squat about health or healing or anything else. So I had to rely on, in a sense, my life as Wood Baker. I bring that alive in me, and then I have all of that if not the data and information per se, but I have that a skill or awareness to be body aware in that regard.
Question, Roger.
Yeah.
Then, as I mentioned a moment ago, I've been taking what you've been talking about and laying it across a linear forward arrow of time. Now, what I'm beginning to see, if I'm seeing it correctly, is that rather than a single line, if I look at the genetic history of my ancestors, it's a multi-pronged, forked, as far back as I care to see, and that any one of them, if I select it, is a past life that's meaningful to me.
That's right, but it still can be a forward arrow of time, but are you willing to accept that it's a backward arrow of proof?
Yes, but the important point here is it's not a single line.
But it can branch out.
I can reach out anywhere within that genetic history.
It's an infinite branching as you go backwards.
And that's available to me to take on as a past life.
And or just a piece or a part.
Okay.
Just
now it's starting together.
It can be just a sympathetic awareness of someone or something. But then, in that regard, you are living that life today. You didn't live that life then.
No, I understand that. Yeah.
But you have access to that, and you can live whatever part or aspect of that life. You don't have to take on the whole life, good, bad, or indifferent, do you?
That's correct. I don't become prisoner to the past personality that I contact or I identify.
Or even the faults.
Yeah.
Well, wait just a minute now. If that's the case, then what you do today in the future will not determine your future, and the errors that you might be making now or the sins that you may be committing now will not be visited upon you, because unless you want to take those sins or errors or problems on, they are not a part of you.
I get that now. Yes.
And so then the question is, and that all occurs because of the nature of emergent. Because what you take on does not have the old stuff in it. So I would take on the essence of Dr. Wood Baker, but I would live that today, so that my today had nothing to do with Baker, and what Baker was doing at that time is what's communicated to me is certain abilities and capabilities and interests and etc. in that regard. But I don't take on all the false problems, difficulties, and etc. I could if I wanted to. So you see, so that if you see then that if you have a problem, I've got breast cancer. Gee, I got to go back and find out where it was in my past life that I went amok. All you've done in that is has really brought up the old stuff, which as far as the universe is concerned, it has no concern for you to bring that up. But the likelihood is that something is has been bringing that up, and you're repeating that old pattern. Go back and look for it in your past lives and really make it a flaming problem in you today.
Yeah, let's whip it up good.
Yeah, you see, so now what we've got here is that through entanglements, you can reach this, you have this access, which is spreading out infinitely behind you. You have that access anywhere you want to go, and even to beyond your direct ancestors, to friends and relatives of ancestors or whatever. And in that then you have access to essentially the wisdom of God, the mind of God, the knowledge of God. You have all that access to you, and you even get to pick and choose. I mean, you can bring in only that which is yours. If you don't judge, if you don't play the game of, gee, I got the knowledge of good and evil here, I got to look at everything and make sure I can judge it correctly. If you don't do that, then you don't bring that those judgments and the resultant consequences to you, and everybody's just the universe is just quite happy about that. Are you okay with this so far?
Yes, I am.
Yes, I am.
Well, do you understand, Patrick, that you have five senses? You know, taste, touch, smell, seeing, and hearing?
That's what we call them, yes.
Could you imagine, then, two things? One is, you have five separate senses. What do you suppose might happen if you communioned all of those? Do you suppose you could communion all of those, and in that you wouldn't get a sixth sense, but you would have an extraordinary sense or awareness or whatever in that regard by communioning all of those?
I don't know what communioning of that might look like.
You know, but would you be willing to say that maybe that's possible?
Oh, sure, sure. I'm willing to say it's possible.
Okay. Let's assume that's possible. Do you understand then, do you not, that all of your senses that we just mentioned work in using those senses, you were in a sense recoiling from life?
Re-what?
Recoiling. That's like jumping back from or reacting to. Your senses are reactive. Those five senses are all reactive. You're reacting to what you see, feel, touch, smell, taste, etc. That's a reaction. You're recoiling from life. Is this reasonable?
That's an interesting way to put it. Well, I'll go with you here. Yeah, okay.
Is it possible then that maybe that if you communioned all of those, you would have a grand sense that would allow you to be aware of life and participate in life and offer to life rather than recoiling from life?
Yeah, I can see that as a possibility.
In other words, the senses that you have were body senses, brain and sensual system of your body, to keep your body alive. But what the hell about you? What if you communioned those senses, and instead of it being reactive or recoiling from what you want, that a grand sense then in that regard would be a sense that would allow you to really get involved with life instead of reacting to life or recoiling from life, but the sense would enable you to get fully involved in life.
That'd be kind of cool.
Well, could we then say then maybe that you have to use your senses different, you have to start by using your senses differently? As long as you are responding to your senses, you are always recoiling from life. What if you wanted to tell your senses what to sense? So you're not using, you can use the same senses, but you're reversing the process, like I've tried to get you to do tonight. Screw your head on the other way around. Okay, let's screw your senses around the other way instead of recoiling from life, but and using your senses in that way. Tell your senses what to sense. Are we okay here, maybe?
Yeah, but I probably could use an illustration of how I could, what I could get my senses to sense. I'm thinking now of, just a gentle breeze, say.
That's
in the category of your first, that says that I'm reacting to air movement, temperature, and everything else.
Okay. All right. But you'll go along that then. Let's see if we're building this what if case here so far. So we're saying, well, then maybe instead of taking the input from the senses and be reacting to everything that's around you, you would be telling your senses what to sense, and then you would use your senses as output, not input.
I kind of don't have an image of what that might be, but I can get you up to the point where I get to output instead of input, and I don't know what that looks like.
Okay, yet. Well, let's see. But it's okay so far.
Yep.
Okay. Maybe, your senses would say, Patrick, I'm with you all along here. Well, what do you want me to sense? I got this output shit, and I guess I'm really willing to do that, but what is this output that you want me to sense? In other words, I'm giving your words back to you.
That's pretty good.
Oh, okay. Now, supposing then you created an image and said to your senses, here's an image, I want you to sense that. Oh, that's what you wanted us to sense. Oh, I see now. Is that okay?
Okay, yes.
Well, now let's carry this one more step further. Let's say then that you were then using your senses to sense certain types or particular data, information, or strengths, or whatever that you wanted out of your ancestors. Could you create an image of an ancestor that you wanted your senses to sense and say, hey, go sense that one? Hello, anybody?
I'm working up an image here.
Well, do you have an image of samurai?
Yeah.
Could you hold that image and tell your senses to sense samurai?
Well, actually, yes. Because I've done that.
Okay. And might it be that when you did that, since you reversed this process, what you did is you didn't use your individual senses to react to samurai, but you communioned your senses in order to fully sense samurai.
Yes.
And when you did that, do you not then put that into your active memories in this lifetime?
Oh, heck yes.
So then, but the problem might have been that you put all the faults of samurai in a lot of ways into this lifetime rather than the attributes you really desired.
That's entirely possible.
Well then, tell me about a life in Rome as a judge. Did you in that then put the negative aspects of that judge into your life today?
No.
So
no, I didn't.
You were doing a whole different concept of judging, were you not?
That's correct.
You weren't judging right, wrong, good, bad, this way, that way, because this is the way the government told you to judge, did it?
No.
Oh, let me see now. So then, the more you actively bring that form of judgment, or judging, or deciding, and etc., into your life, we could reasonably assume that as you do that, by telling your senses to sense that, then that would be, and I hate this word, a positive aspect of you.
I agree with you on your attitude towards that word. Yeah.
But you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Because to a certain degree you've brought just the concept of judging into your life and not the act and fact of that judge was doing everything entirely different or other.
Well, as a matter of fact, I did pick up some of that.
Okay. But we understand that. Okay. So then in this regard, we've only picked up two or three or four, how many ever lives I talked about or whatever you've done, and etc. But you've got this tremendous array of ancestors that you have access to.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, all we've said here is everything we're saying, then life can still go with an arrow of time forward, but the proof of everything is in the past.
Yeah, I see that now.
And the access is in the past.
Yeah.
And forward only means, damn, if I bring that into my life today, then I'll have it today, but I will also have it actively as a G, an active past for a later lifetime, will you not?
An active past for later?
For a later lifetime. When you're Mary Jane in 2066,
that's better.
And when you're Mary Jane, then you would have all of that sort of brought forward and really accessible to Mary Jane.
Absolutely, I see what you mean. Yep.
And every day that you live today the way you, Patrick, truly desire, you're making that access available to Mary Jane to add to her life to live as she truly desires.
And Frank and George and Ralph and whoever cares to access it.
That's right. So you've left it for yourself and for anyone else, because the way the DNA crosses over and creates various strands in that regard, you've made that available to many others as well.
You've often said, why don't you show the universe how it can be?
Isn't that, in a sense, what you're doing in this regard, is that you are giving this access of life as it truly can be lived to infinite number of people.
Yes, absolutely.
But in order for them to access that, in a sense, at least anytime soon, we got to get people off of thinking continuing forward motion.
Yeah, it's kind of barren out there, isn't it?
So, continuing, in the sense, destroys this whole thing. Because of the fact that you are so ingrained in continuing that you don't take advantage of the access that you have.
That's a fact, you know. I don't know about the rest of the people who are listening in tonight, but it's gonna take some discipline on my part to remember that I can and have access past.
That's right. But you can do that all the time, and when you. Now, here is another example. So, the image that you have of the past is the image you can give to your senses, and you say, go sense it. They sense it. The minute you really are having your senses sense that, you're bringing it alive in your life today, are you not?
That's absolutely true. It becomes part of this life's memories.
Aha. Uh-huh. So, you're converting memory into active memories.
Absolutely.
But you even can convert active memory into active memories that you desire.
Yeah, just. Yes, very much so.
And you can fill yourself with memories that you desire that, in a sense, push out memories that you don't desire.
Yes, very much so.
So you could fill your... Well, the question is, if you did all of that, you're not living an illusionary life, or illusory life in that regard. You're not. They're not illusions. They're not make-believe. It is the self and life that you're living every day anyway, but right now you don't know it.
Yeah, blissfully ignorant.
Well, not so blissfully.
At times, certainly, not very blissfully, yes.
We okay so far?
I'm quite fine so far, thank you.
So, then the image you have in a reading is sort of a, here, go out and sense this to your senses. If I give you do a regression, doesn't if you enter that same life, doesn't that life and the images that you are dealing with it at that time take on a stronger, firmer image?
Oh yeah.
So that the regression then is one way of strengthening, let's say, an image maybe that I told you about in a reading, or you just had a flash of a sense of something. Now, where the hell did that come from? So then the regression is a stronger image, and then you can make that even stronger by telling yourself to sense strongly that life for you. Is this okay?
Yeah, that's pretty darn clear.
All right. Several things are going on here. Number one, that's kind of what suscitation is about, to bring you to that point to where you're actually fully and actively participating in that life, such that that becomes an active memories for you in this lifetime. Now, if you had a problem in your life today, do you suppose that you could step into your role as the judge or the samurai, let's say the judge, would you be able to, do you think you could create that life strong enough so that you could step into the role of the judge and take a different perspective, look at the problem and difficulty you're dealing with today?
Oh, I think so, very much.
And if you have a problem and a difficulty today, do you suppose then that you could ask either the samurai or the judge, well, what the hell do you think I ought to do here?
Yeah, I can see that it can be that active.
So then, if you're looking at it from your Patrick point of view, your today self, that's the problem from the today self point of view, or you can get out of yourself into the eternal self, or your body's ancestors as an eternal self in that regard, and get a completely different view of the problem and the difficulty.
Absolutely. Oh boy, we've got some bright images going right now.
Now, supposing that not just the judge and not just the samurai, but let's just say you had six or eight other lives as well that gave you six or eight other perspectives on a problem and difficulty. Do you suppose, let's see, that you could have the wisdom of Solomon in that?
I just had this image of it being a very interesting conversation I would have.
Well, that's the important thing, because that's thoughtful consideration, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean then that you get stuck Well, wait a minute. What do you think all these people who talk about guides is all about? Now you have your own personal guides, and they are you, and you can step into that role and not just be asking for, tell me what to do, but from that perspective, I can see what to do.
Is this also true listening?
I didn't hear you. What?
Is this also true listening?
Man, I didn't get the.
Is this also true listening?
Is this what?
True listening.
Oh. Yes, but it's even more than true listening. Is it not?
It seems so, yes.
Yeah, it's true speaking to yourself.
Yeah.
So. Oh, okay. So, yeah, okay. It's true listening personified or magnified. Okay, Patrick, let's say this for a moment. Let's say you're all screwed up, pissed off, angry, don't know what to do, upset, and etc. We okay? Does that sound any kind of familiar?
See, I think I recognize that one, yeah.
Could you then move into one of these eternal lives perspective, and in that then not carry that disturbance and discontent with you?
Oh, I think so. And I think I've got such a better idea now of what you've spoken of in the past about being able to step out of my perspective into another perspective. And I think you've really made that clear now what that means.
So all I'm doing in that regard, when I talk about context, like an eternal context, then from an eternal context, the problem is a whole different, if even a problem, a different
Yes.
Now, isn't that a better way of looking at and solving your problems than either getting upset and screaming at the world, or being Mr. Goody Two Shoes and eating yourself up from the inside?
Neither of those options are all that desirable.
But most of the time what we do is we say, I shouldn't be that way to people around me. Who was that brother and sister? She died of anorexia?
Carpenters.
Huh?
Carpenters.
Oh, the Carpenters. Remember the Carpenters?
Yes.
And she ate herself up by being Miss Goody Two Shoes. She ate herself up on the inside. Died of anorexia. Or cancer. Or automobile accidents. And all of a sudden here we have a different perspective, rather than either bitching at everybody around you or bitching at yourself. You have a serious alternative to all of this, right?
Yes, I do.
And when you have a problem, a medical problem or illness or difficulty, then you have somebody within you, let's say for the moment, I don't like the within you. Let's take it outside of you, because the ancestor is outside of you. You got to, don't search within, search outside of yourself for this ancestor. That you have, you can step into that role or position in such a way then that you're not fighting against the doctor who's trying to heal you. So you can step
up. So when you spoke.
Go ahead.
When you've spoken in the past, where you, I think you said that there's times when you've had situations in your life and you say something like, hey, okay, guys, what are we going to do about this one?
Yeah.
And that's your guys. And those, are those the same guys that I see with you sometimes?
I don't know who you see.
Well, I've never named them, so I'll have to tell you about them sometimes.
Oh, I know, but you've just mentioned that the guys are there. Oh, well, yeah. Wait just a minute now. Hold the phone. Do you understand that your embodiment never denies you or conceals you?
Doesn't deny me or conceal me. Okay, yes.
Are you willing to accept that is the embodiment of you, meaning also what you do, etc., 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 that the embodiment of you that allows me to see you?
Yes.
Oh, wait just a minute then. Maybe that in this regard, when you're looking at and you see these people, maybe that's the same as you're communioning all of your normal reactive senses and telling your senses what to sense.
Okay.
Are we getting here all right? So that in there, then, you are beginning to see not me, Roger, but you're beginning to see me as an eternal self in these individuals.
Son of a gun. I never knew that. Son of a gun.
So that when you tell your senses what, or it can happen simply because you're either not in whatever situation reacting so in that regard, and you, let's say you're caught off guard, and so it occurs. Now I'm saying is that if you really understand what we're talking about, you can create the image, tell your senses what to sense, and actually fully, completely sense that. Let's assume that you did that all the time. Do you suppose that your relationship with people, places, and things would be entirely different?
Holy crow, would they ever.
Do you understand then from everything that we're saying that creating the future you desire defeats you?
I think we got that pretty clear now, yes.
So that when they say, choose what you desire and go for it, create the future you truly desire, and etc., you're defeating yourself all along the way. Create the past that you truly desire to be in access in the future. Is that okay?
So, you used to say, you know, when if there was a project doing for a client, set it out there as something to be accomplished, be the project, and live each individual component.
Okay. Yeah. But, wait just a minute now. Would it be possible, to be the project with a whole team of individuals that are you?
I like that, yeah.
With that, see, that's what I say, okay guys, what are we going to do? You're living, you have access to you, a whole team. Be careful you don't turn that into a corporation. You understand that then?
Yes, I do.
So then you, when I said to you, or to everybody, several years ago, that you are given existence and access, the rest is up to you, are you beginning to understand what the hell I was talking about? You have existence and access. And you can access that to the nth degree, as we were talking about it today, or reject it and struggle along with your reactive existence, trying to keep it going and denying all the access that you have access to.
Oh, absolutely. I can see that. I can absolutely see that.
Well, if you see that, then I'm going to quit tonight. Unless somebody has a question, I don't want to go any further than that right now.
Wow. Well, I'm sure pleased with that.
Well, hopefully them what listened in could follow along and understand and say, shit, if Patrick can do it, I know I can do it. So if there are no questions about that, we'll leave it there, because I don't want to start on this other stuff that I've... Okay?
That's wonderful. Thank you.
Good night for now, everybody.